Our next guest speaker is going to be Pastor Stephen Anderson. You know, the Reverend Billy Graham tells of a time early in his ministry when he arrived in a small town to preach a sermon. Wanting to mail a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. When the boy had told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, "If you'll come to the Baptist church this evening, you can hear me telling everyone." "Hear me tell everyone where heaven is." The boy replied, "I don't think I'll be there. You don't even know where the post office is." Isn't that about right? I imagine Pastor Anderson not only knows the way to the post office, he knows the way to heaven. Pastor Stephen L. Anderson started Faithful Word Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona on December 25th, 2005. He holds no college degree, but has well over 100 chapters of the Bible committed to memory, including approximately half of the New Testament. Today, most Baptist churches are started by Bible colleges. However, Pastor Anderson feels that the Bible makes it clear that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, not a school. So Faithful Word Baptist Church is a totally independent Baptist church, based on the old-fashioned principles of knocking on doors and winning souls for Christ. These principles have led to thousands being saved, while many others are learning how to pursue those objectives. In the last few years, Pastor Anderson has faced persecution for standing up for the constitutional rights of Americans, as well as for preaching unpopular portions of the Scripture without apology. Pastor Anderson and his wife have been married for 10 years and have 5 children. Please join me in welcoming Pastor Stephen Anderson.
All right, well, hello. Thank you for having me here. I'm Pastor Steve Anderson, Faithful Word Baptist Church. I want to start out by playing a video of some actual footage from an encounter I had a little less than a year and a half ago when I was tasered and beaten by the police and thrown in jail for refusing to let them search my trunk. Now, as he cues up the video, I'll just begin to tell the story a little bit. In addition to pastoring the church at that time, I also ran a fire alarm business that operated in several states. So I was doing a lot of traveling, and I was coming home from a business trip late at night, and I was stopped at a random, suspicionless border patrol checkpoint. Of course, it was 75 miles from the border on a highway that goes east to west, and basically they wanted me to answer a lot of questions. They wanted to search my vehicle, search the trunk, and I basically asserted my right not to answer questions and not to be searched without a warrant. Not because I had anything to hide. There was nothing in the trunk to hide. I'm a Baptist pastor. I was just on a business trip. And basically, there was a standoff there. And after about an hour and 15 minutes, the police came, put me under arrest, shattered out my windows, tasered me for 20 seconds straight, and grated my face in broken glass. Go ahead and play the video whenever you're ready, just so you can get a feel. Let me ask this. Are you placing me under arrest?
You are under arrest.
And what crime am I being charged with?
Hey, these guys are telling me that a canine alerted to your vehicle for the presence.
And I've asked repeatedly for that dog to be brought back out because I say that it didn't happen. And they are refusing to get the dog back out because they know that they're not telling the truth.
You can do one.
Because I wouldn't answer their questions, they came up with that.
Or I'm going to take you out of the car.
Well, let me ask this. When you place someone under arrest, don't you have to put them under arrest for something specific?
Okay. I'm a police officer. I'm ordering you out of the car.
Will you answer my question, police officer?
Yeah. I'm a police officer.
What are you placing me under arrest for?
For failure to obey me right now.
So I have to obey you by law?
Yes, you still.
Even when you're stopping me without cause?
Hey, close your eyes.
Tell me when.
Close your eyes.
Okay, yeah,
ready?
Yeah.
Ah! Ah!
So you can go ahead and cut the sound out on the video, but maybe just leave it rolling. You want to just cut out the sound on the video? And basically, you can see him swinging the baton at my window 5 times, shattering open the glass. And then what's going on right there, they basically took my head. I'm already paralyzed by 50,000 volts from the taser. My eyes were closed. I was covering my face. I wasn't fighting back at all. You can see from the video. And they basically took my head and just shoved it in the broken glass on the door and just held it there and pressed it in. And then finally took me out, rolled me on the ground, stepped on me, brutalized me, and then basically handcuffed me and took me off to the trailer. They still got me on the ground at that point. But you can go ahead and switch to the photographic slides now if you could. Just want to show a few pictures that were taken there at the scene. So done with the video. But that right there shows where they shoved my face in the broken glass on the door. Go ahead and go to the next picture. And you can see the shape of my head, just that round part where they shoved my face down in the glass. Go ahead and show the next one. This is me in the Border Patrol trailer after they'd already cleaned me up and bandaged me up. And then next slide. That's just a close-up of after they'd already bandaged me up and cleaned me up. And then I believe there might be one more. That's me a couple days later after my head had all been stitched up and everything like that. And that's it for the pictures and video. But basically, I stood up for my rights as an American, my Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. They were important enough to me to knowingly have my windows bashed in. I didn't necessarily know how bad they were going to beat me up or what they were going to do to me. The video cuts out only one-third of the way into me being tasered just because the camera was sitting upon the dash. I wasn't holding it. I had my eyes closed, my face in my hands. And when they impacted the windows, the camera flew off the dash and just kind of shut in midair. It's amazing that it even captured as much as it did. Well, about, you know, of course, I spent the night in jail charged with failure to obey and charged with the same charge that Michael Markavich was charged with, obstructing the highway. Of course, I was asking to leave, and they were keeping me there and holding me against my will. But about 6 months after that, I was attacked again for my preaching because I preached a very strong sermon against Obama, and I called him out for being a murderer, and I called him out for, you know, being a wicked leader, and I used a lot of Bible and preached a sermon against Barack Obama because he was coming to Phoenix. And basically, I was visited by the Secret Service, the FBI. I was persecuted. I was put in CNN about 2 weeks straight every single day. And all kinds of bad things. I got death threats. I had people protesting outside my church for about 5 or 6 weeks straight. I had all kinds of filthy, disgusting things mailed to me, such as gay pornography, human waste, just disgusting, horrible things that I'm not even going to mention. And so basically, I've been persecuted and attacked for standing up for constitutional rights of Americans and also for preaching the Word of God without apology and applying it to the situations that we're living in today. Because many preachers want to preach the Bible in a generalized kind of way, but they don't want to bring it down home to the time that we're living in. Now, I want to basically preach to you today. I don't want to just tell that story. If you want to get more of that story, you can go on YouTube and watch the videos and get all the background behind these two stories of the Obama preaching and also the Border Patrol incident. But I want to preach to you today from the Bible about freedom and about liberty and about why I've made the stands that I've made. Now, the first thing I want to establish today is that our rights and our freedoms do not come from the government or the Constitution. They come from God, okay? And they're found in the Bible. You see, what I believe about freedom and liberty didn't come from this book. This is the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. What I believe did not come from this book, but it came from this book, the Holy Bible. You see, the first thing that God ever told man after he created man in the Garden of Eden was to be free. The first thing. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Right away, he gave him freedom. He gave him the choice of what he wanted to do. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Bible says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The Bible is all about freedom. Our rights and freedoms come from God. I'll just read to you one thing out of the Bill of Rights. This is my favorite amendment, And I think some people forget about this one. But to me, this is the most important one, the Ninth Amendment of the Constitution. The Ninth Amendment says this: the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. You see, those who wrote this document knew that these are not our only rights. We have other natural rights that came from God. They're just listing a few of our rights here, but our rights didn't come from them, they came from God. For example, when it comes to salvation, God gives us freedom. We all have the freedom to decide whether or not we're going to be saved, whether or not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't force anyone to be saved. He doesn't force anyone to believe on Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever will may come. The Bible says in Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, being saved is liberty. Because I don't have to serve God, I want to serve God. You see, I'm going to heaven for one reason, because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Being saved is by believing on Jesus Christ. It's not that we have to obey God in order to be saved. Otherwise, we're all in trouble, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But once we're saved, we have the freedom to decide whether we're going to serve God or serve the flesh. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's about loving Christ and choosing to do the right thing, having the freedom to choose to do right. And I've noticed that the people who believe that salvation is the freest are the ones who do the most for God. And the ones who believe that they have to serve God are more interested in just doing the minimum for God. So number one, I want to say that freedom comes from God. We see it all throughout the Bible. We can see the Second Amendment in the Bible. Jesus said to carry a sword. All throughout the Old Testament, they were commanded to have weapons and to use those weapons to protect themselves. We can see the Fourth and Fifth Amendment in the Bible. Jesus Christ himself refused to answer questions when questioned by the governor, Herod. He refused to testify against himself in court, which is where we get our Fifth Amendment. When he said, ask those which heard me, they heard what I said. He wouldn't answer the questions. He basically was following the Old Testament laws, which said that a person had to be condemned by two or three witnesses. But number two, I want to say this, and if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. But if you do have a Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Number two, though, if we reject God as our ruler, we will become enslaved by government. It's true. It's happened throughout history. It happened throughout the Bible. We pretty much have a choice. Do we want to be ruled by God's laws? Do we want to choose to love God and keep his commandments? Or do we want to be enslaved by human government? Here's my text this morning. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, and beginning in verse number 5, I'll begin reading. It says, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. Let me turn the page here. In all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So you see, God never intended for the children of Israel to live in a monarchy. He never intended for them to have a king. He set up a system where they had total freedom, a perfect form of government as laid out in the book of Deuteronomy, but yet they rejected God's laws, they rejected God ruling over them and said, no, we want to have a king to be like the other nations. And he said, Samuel, it's not that they've rejected you from being a judge, it's they've rejected me that I should not reign over them. Look at verse number 8. It says, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint them captains of thousands, and captains over fifties, and will make them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he'll take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he'll take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he'll take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He'll take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which he shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us. You see, when you reject God from reigning over you, you become enslaved by human government. God warned them, if you reject my system, if you reject me being your leader and me ruling over you, and you have a king, you will be enslaved by that king. He will take 10% of this, 10% of that. And you know, our government today thinks they're God, but they don't just want the tithe. It almost gives a whole new meaning to the Trinity, the way they want to take 10% for the Father, 10% for the Son, and 10% for the Holy Ghost. I mean, and that's if you're lucky, you're paying 30%. We're not free in America. We've become enslaved by human government because we don't want to be governed by God's laws. Look, all of God's laws fit in this book right here. And yet, if we were to take the laws of the United States of America, we couldn't even fit them in this building. And people think that God has too many rules. When these are God's rules right here, and they give freedom and life and liberty and prosperity and peace, but we reject God and we want to be enslaved by a government that tells us every phase of our life because we just can't accept God's few laws. I'm sorry, you know, God won't let you be a homosexual pervert. You know, you can't be a sodomite queer, you know, but we want to have that so bad, and we want to have adultery, and want to have fornication, and drunkenness, and wickedness, and because we want all these wicked, filthy things, then we'll reject God from ruling over us, and then we'll be enslaved by a government that will take half of our money, that will spend it for us on things that we don't even believe in, to murder children and to do other wicked things and warfare across the world that we don't believe in. He'll take everything we have. He'll take our freedom. He'll take our liberty because we won't let God rule over us. Let me tell you something. Every time people in the Bible disobeyed God and stopped letting God rule them, they went into bondage. The children of Israel went into bondage again and again because when you spit in the face of God and thumb your nose at God, you will be enslaved. There is no freedom outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom comes from God. And people today want to have freedom without God. They want to kick God out. They want to kick out the name of Jesus. They want to kick out prayer. They don't want to hear preaching. And then they expect that they're going to continue to have freedom. No, they're going to have bondage and slavery. Because whenever you reject God to rule over you, you become enslaved by human government. Here's why. Because government becomes a substitute for God. Today, because people don't believe in God or have rejected God, the government has become a substitute for God. Let me give you some examples. I already gave you the example about how, you know, they want your tithe, you know, in triplicate and quintuplicate. But not only that, think about the fact that some people today use the human government that we have as the final authority for what's right and wrong. Instead of the Bible being the final authority for what's right and wrong, today the government is the one who decides what's right and wrong. So basically, if it's legal, it's right. And if it's not legal, it must not be right. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things today that are legal that aren't right. And there are a lot of things that are illegal that are right. Because the government today has been a destructive force against liberty. And you see, today you'll try to preach to people the wickedness of abortion and the disgusting nature of the murder of the unborn, and they'll tell you, well, don't you know abortion's legal? I mean, somebody said, I was on some interview, they said, well, you are aware that abortion is legal. That doesn't mean anything. It means nothing, because it's still murder. And you can call it what you want, you can make it legal, but that doesn't make it right. And you can make preaching what's right illegal, and that doesn't make it wrong to get up and preach what's right, and to say what's right, and to do what's right. It's legal or illegal based on God's law, not man's law. You see, man's law was set up for one thing, according to the Bible. Read Romans 13, for the punishment of evildoers. And that's it. But today our government's out of bounds. They are not just there for the punishment of evildoers. They want to invade the home. They want to invade the church. They want to invade every part of your personal life. That's just another example how the government takes the place of God. They become the measuring stick of morality. They decide what's right and wrong instead of God's word. They're the ones we give our money to. They're the ones who own us and own everything that we have. But not only that, look at the surveillance today. I don't know about how it is out here. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in West Virginia, but I know that where I live in Phoenix, Arizona, there is literally a camera on every street corner. In the city of Tempe, where I live, there is literally a camera on every street corner, and on the interstate highways, there are cameras every mile apart as you go through the city of Phoenix, all over the state of Arizona. We are under surveillance, and they're not satisfied. Their goal is to get us totally under surveillance like Great Britain is, totally under the watchful eye of Big Brother. And let me tell you something. They think that they are God, because it's the eyes of the Lord that are in every place, beholding the good and evil. And they want to be our Lord, and they want to have their eyes in every place, beholding our good and evil, because they literally believe that they are God. They think the government is God. Because when you reject the God of the Bible, you end up with the government being, I'd rather have this God than for our government to be my God. I'm sick and tired of preachers today who bow down and worship the government, literally, as a God. They bow down and worship the government. The government tells them what's right and wrong. The government tells them what they can and can't preach. The government tells them what they can and can't say. The government's watching them all the time. But, you know, I think the big one is that instead of trusting the Lord to keep us safe, and to be our safety net, it's the government that's going to keep us safe and be our safety net. You see, the Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The Bible says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And let me tell you something, it doesn't matter how many horses and chariots the United States has today. If God is against us, we will be destroyed. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me give you the answer today to the so-called war on terror. The war on terror. You know, you got to love these wars that are on ideas instead of being a war against a specific enemy. You know, the war on drugs. You know, the war on poverty. The war on terror. Let me give you the Bible answer to the so-called war on terror, which is really the war of terror to terrorize the American people into submission. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 54:14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. God says righteousness is what will free you from fear and terror. Righteousness is what will establish you. Righteousness will prevent you from being oppressed and enslaved, according to Isaiah 54:14. It's righteousness that we need, not a war on terror. Did you know where the word terrorist even comes from? I don't know if you know where the English word terrorist comes from, but it comes from a French word. It came into the English language from French. It was coined in 1793 in revolutionary France. And let me tell you what the word terrorist meant when that word was invented in the English language. It was referring to the faction of the French revolutionary government that wanted to institute and did institute what they dubbed the Reign of Terror, with mass guillotine executions. They called it the Reign of Terror, and those in government that instituted it were known as the terrorist faction. So the government was the original terrorist. I mean, that's where the word comes from. The government is the one that wants you scared. The government wants you to fear them, when really in the Bible, there's only one person you should ever fear, and that's God. I looked up every time the word fear exists in the Bible. And every single time it was negative, unless it was talking about fearing God. Every other time it was negative. The only legitimate fear is a fear of God, but they don't want us to fear God and keep his commandments. They want us to fear them and keep their commandments, because they have become a substitute for God. But you see, this God's plan here of being free from fear and terror and being safe and safeties of the Lord, it only works if you're righteous. And the problem is, we live in such a wicked and disgusting abomination of a nation today, that today we can't rely on God to protect us. That's why we have to have bases all over the world. That's why we have to spend more and more on military. That's why we have to fight all these preventative wars and go to war and do all this stuff. I'll tell you why. Because God can't protect us anymore, because we're unrighteous and we're wicked. And so that's why we're scared all the time. That's why the threat level has been orange for the last 10 years. I mean, you go to the airport and the threat level is orange. Has anybody remember, was it ever yellow or green or blue? It's just always orange all the time. Well, let me tell you something. If they really knew what God was going to do to this country, they'd bump it up to red. If they really knew the judgment that was going to come from God on this nation, they would go from a threat level orange to a red alert, because God will judge this nation. If we had righteousness, he'd protect us. But because our country has become wicked and unrighteous, it's going to be judged by God. But let me explain to you the problem. Let me explain to you the problem here. Why are we in the position that we're in? And there are many reasons, but let me give you one reason why we're in the position that we're in. See, the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Bible says in Hosea 4, 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." This is God speaking. "That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers," and listen to this next phrase, "against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, keeping people in darkness, what does darkness represent? Ignorance. If you walk in darkness, you can't see where you're going, the Bible says. And because of our lack of knowledge, that's why our people are being destroyed. Because of a lack of knowing the truth, that's why we don't have freedom. Because of the fact that there's the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, that is what's stopping us from having freedom today. It's ignorance. It's lies. It's deception. But when you don't pick up this book and read it, and when your mind is being literally programmed by the television or by conservative talk radio or by the left-wing, you know, talk and media, whatever it is, if you're being brainwashed by the mainstream media and you've never even read this book like most Christians have never read this book cover to cover even one time, and you wonder why we're enslaved, it's because we don't even know that we're being enslaved, because we have no knowledge. And the pastors of America are the ones that ought to be shouting and screaming the loudest, freedom! Freedom! We ought to be telling the truth about what's going on. But today, in many cases, it's the pastors and pulpits of America that are parroting the government line. The FEMA pastors. You say, I don't know if I really think that that's real, that whole, you know, FEMA pastors. And, you know, I know personally of big mega church pastors that I've known who have said they were contacted and literally brought to the White House and sat down in a meeting with George W. Bush and given their marching orders for what to preach and what they needed to say and what they needed to do. I could tell you, I mean, I know it for a fact. You may not think that that's going on, but you know what? They're not stupid. They know that the preachers of America and the pastors of churches have the ear of millions and millions and millions of people across this land. And they have corrupted the pastors of America. They have turned them into government prostitutes of propaganda across the land. It's true. They are hirelings. And I'm going to tell you something. They literally, and I mean, I don't, I'm sure that some of them are just ignorant and maybe their heart's in the right place, but they just, that stupid television has just brainwashed them, or maybe they just don't have time to read this book because they're too busy reading some, you know, feel-good book from the Christian bookstore that's going to tell them about God instead of reading the Holy Bible and figuring out what's really going on. I mean, come on. Come on. Read the Bible. How many times? The whole book of Acts is people getting thrown in jail and breaking out of jail. I mean, that's the whole book. I mean, almost every chapter somebody's going to jail. All throughout the Old Testament, they're fighting against wickedness, and they're fighting against tyranny and oppression, and they're being enslaved because of their unrighteousness, and they're losing freedom. But today, preachers want to preach a feel-good sermon. They literally will parade the police chief and every government, mayor, governors, mayors, congressmen, good or bad, they'll parade them across the platform and say, you know, we appreciate your service. You know, I'm not saying that there aren't good people serving in those positions. But to indiscriminately praise our government, unbelievable. We ought to have pastors that are getting in the pulpit and telling people the truth. You know this freedom movement that's sweeping across America? And it is. In the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a movement of freedom sweeping across this nation. And let me tell you something. It's often been known as the truth movement. Have you heard that before? You've heard it called the truth movement? Because let me tell you something. The two go hand in hand. When you're listening to liars, you'll never be free. When you're being lied to, it doesn't matter whether you can vote if everything you're voting on is a lie. And everything that you've been told about the candidates is a lie. And everything you believe about what they're going to do when they get elected is all a lie. That's not freedom. You get to choose, you know, whether it's the left boot or the right boot that steps on your head. You know, you get to choose whether or not to be enslaved by the right or enslaved by the left. You see, we need pastors that will faithfully preach God's word and explain to people what freedom is, why freedom is valuable, and today, I think the biggest reason why people don't think freedom's valuable is because they don't understand that when one person's rights are violated, it's going to be you tomorrow. You know, today it was me, you know, getting beaten and tasered, but that'll never happen to you, right? You know, I'm just a businessman. All I said was I just don't want to be searched without a warrant. That's all. Did I seem violent in that video? I had no weapon in the car. I had my eyes closed with my face in my hands, and yet I was beaten and tasered mercilessly and had to get 11 stitches that night when I was taken to the hospital. It could happen to anybody. And we don't care when it happens to somebody else. You know, we'll put up with the government torturing somebody as long as they're a terrorist. But let me say this. Do you trust the government to handle the finances of our nation? Are they doing a good job? Would you trust the government to run health care? Is anybody for that? Okay. But yet you'll trust them to only torture the right people. Unbelievable. The Eighth Amendment says, cruel and unusual punishments shall not be inflicted. And it doesn't say upon whom or by whom. It just says no cruel and unusual punishments. And yet today, I saw a poll recently that said that 60% of people who go to church are for torture. And
40% of people who don't go to church are for torture. Something's wrong with that picture. You see, every government that's ever used torture has always tortured its own people. Every time. And you say, well, you know, you don't want to give them our rights. I don't give anybody their rights. Our rights come from God. And if they're endowed by the Creator, then it doesn't matter what country you're a citizen of. You have the right to be free. Period. People don't like that today, but it's true. If I got my rights from my Creator, it wasn't given to me because I'm an American citizen. So I shouldn't have to walk around everywhere pulling out my papers and proving that I'm a citizen. You know, like Nazi Germany. Because it doesn't matter whether I'm a citizen or not. I have freedom because I'm a human being created in the image of God. And you see, when it's somebody else, we don't care. We don't care about the Eighth Amendment until it's us being tortured. We don't care about the Second Amendment if we don't own guns. You know? Well, I don't own guns. But I do own guns, of course. Give me a break. I'm like, I did like Jesus said. I have two swords. I have a 45 and a rifle. Okay, so I have my two swords. But you see, we don't care about the Fourth Amendment because we're not a business traveler. You know, we're not constantly going through checkpoints and having to be searched and all that. We don't care because, you know, that doesn't affect me. You know, the Fifth Amendment, I hardly ever even run into the police. Well, you don't live in Phoenix. The police are everywhere. I think that there's a policeman assigned to each person living in Tempe is my theory. But let me tell you something. I bet everybody in here believes in the First Amendment and thinks that's important. I bet you every single person in here thinks the freedom of religion is important. I'll bet you every single person who's here thinks that the freedom of speech is important. And yet, if they can take away the Eighth Amendment and say it doesn't mean anything, if they can take away the Sixth Amendment and not give you a trial by jury, not give you a speedy trial, if they can take away the Fourth Amendment and search you without a warrant, if they can take away the Fifth Amendment and force you to be interrogated and answer questions, if they can take away the Second Amendment and infringe upon your right to keep and bear arms. What's the word bear mean? To carry. And in many places across America, you can't carry a gun. You can own one locked up somewhere, but you can't bear those arms. But let me tell you something. If the Second doesn't matter, the Fourth doesn't matter, the Fifth doesn't matter, the Eighth doesn't matter, mark it down, the First Amendment will be gone. It'll be gone. I saw a bumper sticker on somebody's chair. It said, if the First Amendment doesn't work, the Second will. That was pretty funny. But let me tell you something. Why did I make that stand? Why not let them search my trunk? I mean, look, I would have been out in and out of there in a few minutes, right? If I would have popped the trunk, answered all the questions, told them where I was going, what I was doing, what I do for a living. Yes, I'm a U.S. citizen. Go ahead and check the trunk. Go ahead and check under the hood. I would have been out of there in a few minutes, right? But what kind of a country would my children inherit? You know, that's what I was asking myself. And if I do what's best for me, it's going to be to preserve myself. You know, what's best for me? Well, what's best for me is just to go with the flow. Get home to my family. Go home to my comfortable bed tonight and relax. But you know what? Somebody's got to draw a line in the sand. Whatever that line is. And it doesn't matter which of the Bill of Rights you're fighting for. Because every single one of them is essential. You've got to draw that line in the sand. And you've got to say, you know what? It's not about me. What good is my comfort and financial security going to do me if my children grow up in a country where they cannot even afford to have children, like in Europe today? Where they can't even afford to have children. Where they're forced to have both parents working. Where they're forced to not have a mother there in the home. Where they're forced to put their children in a godless, wicked public school brainwashing center against their will if they want to homeschool their children. Where they're forced to vaccinate. Where they're forced to go to a church that can't preach the whole counsel of God and every word of God. What good is it going to do us to be safe and secure and comfortable if we don't have freedom to preach the gospel and to live our lives and to raise our children and to spank our children and to raise our families? It's worthless. Stand up today. Stand up for your rights as an American, and stand up and boldly proclaim the truth of God's word without apology. Quit watering down the message, preachers of America. Quit toning it down. Look, people will leave the church. They'll quit the church. You might have to install a revolving door in the front of your church, but preach God's word. Thank you.